Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 425. I'm Amy Matheny in the United States of America.
And I'm your best dyke in Toronto, Canada, Deb Pierce.
Hello, Deb Pierce. How are you?
Oh, my God. It is beautiful weather up in Canada, so I have absolutely no complaints. Work gets in the way of my social life, but hey,
yeah,
you got to do what you got to do. But I'm great. I'm great.
So, how has Pride been up there? Because you all have a really lengthy Pride season.
We have a Pride week now, and I'll tell you, it even goes more than a week because the huge launch party this year that I hosted was on a Tuesday night, and then there was events on that weekend, but then Pride week followed the next, and we went right in from Canada Day on the Friday of the 1st to a lot of people stayed in Toronto for the 4th of July.
Yeah. Now, you all celebrate the 4th of July?
Nope. We just watch a lot of commercials and we miss all of our soap operas that don't play that day.
Yeah. We're all going to be missing all of our soap operas very soon.
It's a true story, sign of the times, I'll tell you.
It is a change of the times. It is true.
Yeah.
So, did you feel, you know, our Pride down here kind of had a mixed grab bag? There's a lot of stuff going on in Chicago, and I don't know that we're going to talk a lot about it this show, everyone. Hopefully maybe we'll talk about it some in the next show. Just a lot of controversy going on in the Lakeview, which is the gayborhood, the big gayborhood, in Chicago. A lot of controversy around the center on Halsted, a lot of controversy around the eruption of crime so far this summer and in the spring, and a lot of people pointing fingers at a lot of the displaced GLBT youth in that area or youth from other areas who are coming to that area. You know, are really a lot of people are saying they are the cause of the surge of this crime, and then there was some stuff around the parade this year. Was it that dramatic in Canada? What's going on up there? Are you all just kinder and gentler gays?
Well, I have to say, the crime is not an issue. It's not a non-issue here in Toronto. It's certainly, you know, gun violence goes up considerably in the summer, which of course is our Pride season. But something really dramatic happened. First time since 1994, our mayor, who should be ashamed of himself, didn't want to declare it Pride Week, didn't go to the flag raising, which is huge at City Hall. It's a monumental day for everyone to say, you know, we're celebrating Pride Week and bringing in millions of dollars into our system. And
right.
He refused to come to the parade. Never since 1994 has there been a mayor that refused to do that. And he said
wow.
He has a family tradition of going to his cottage on Canada Day. And I'm thinking, before you were mayor and you were a counselor and you were a family man making stickers in a family company, maybe you could choose to do that. But when you're the mayor of a city, it's not just a certain demographic that voted you in. You're a mayor of the entire city, and that means people of color for Caravana. That means the LGBTQ community for Pride. And he just is a bigot, homophobe. He's terrible. He's disgusting. And there's two camps in Toronto. One, the camp that says, you don't want to be there with us. We don't want you to be there with us. And there's another camp, of course, that says, it's all of Toronto. Shame on you in 2011 for being homophobic.
Yeah. Wow.
Disgraceful.
But that's a switch for you guys, because we look to you as to how to behave from our political vantage point.
Well, that's true. Canada hasn't changed, and I'll get into that a little bit more about the legalization of marriage.
Yeah.
Hitting close to home.
Yes.
But he is the most disgusting example of what Toronto really is. How he got voted in, I do know, because it was the suburbs that voted him in.
Uh-huh.
Nobody in the downtown core. He wants to cut bike lanes. He wants to cut the arts. He had a spy go down on what we call Dyke Day, which is the Saturday of Pride weekend. We've got the Pride Parade on Sunday, the Trans March on Friday, and it's Dyke Day on Saturday. He had spies going down there to see if we were infringing on anything so that he could revoke even further public funding that he gave us.
Wow.
Terrible.
Wow.
Terrible. Yeah, and terrible.
How long will he be in office? When can you get this guy out?
Too fucking long. he just got in. It's a four-year term. Now, he is a man of poor health. He's quite overweight. He's always a little purple in the face and sweaty. So who knows if he might need to take some time off to repair his heart at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, we don't wish him that much ill, but, you know.
No, we don't, but people do. And, you know, he, unfortunately, a man of his stature used an expression with his constituents saying, get on the gravy train. Well, you can only imagine.
Yeah.
The ones that have come out of that.
With a side of potatoes, please.
That's
oh, my God. With some spuds, please. So what do people, you know, you're not that far from the New York, state of New York, just
yay!
Over the lip. What do you think of us here in the States and Illinois passing civil unions as well, which became legal in June?
That's great. I have to say, firstly, I celebrated New York and same-sex marriage by going camping in the Allegheny State Park that weekend just to put some money into their economy.
Yep.
Secondly, I have a little bit of a difficult time, and I don't think it's because I'm privileged being in Canada. I have a little hard time celebrating something that should already be in existence. I
yes.
do have a little bit of a difficult time doing that.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, what do you think about it? You must be excited.
I think it's fantastic. I think that I am somebody who is avidly thinks that Obama needs to do the right thing. And I fear he's going to wait to do it when he feels like he can, which will be once he's reelected.
Right.
But, you know, we need to get rid of DOMA. I mean, it's great. And at the same time, it makes a watershed to the issues and the problems of just more and more and more how certain citizens of now more, even more clearly, there are other classes of citizens, you know, in our country. And so, you know, at the same time that we were hearing about New York, we're hearing about the first bankruptcy case coming out of California. One of the couples married out of California in the little window when they could legally be married. And, you know, this is going to start abounding and it is going to just become a watershed that legally is going to become such a nightmare for the U.S. that something federally has got to happen soon.
Right.
I mean, I don't think this can be a state's issue. This is going to be like the abortion issue or other issues. And federally, they need to get everything set up for Social Security and, you know, the way they would tax a gay couple federally if the partner died, you know, differently than a married couple. So it's there's still huge roads to take, but I feel that it continues to just be momentum in our direction. And I think that that's a good thing we need.
That is always amazing. Progression is always amazing. And to know where we come from is to know where we need to go. But it just, none of it, I know, I understand the bureaucracy of getting things done and paperwork shuffling and things being passed now to be implemented in 6 months to a year to 2 years. But I just feel like basic human rights are just nothing to stand idle about.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Well, we have a really big show, and Deb Pierce is here because she has a really big announcement, which we're going to make you wait just a little bit longer. But it's Pride and Pierce and other things on this episode of the Windy City Careercast. It's been a while since we've spoken to Canada, and. Okay. And so Deb's going to be with me the entire show. We're going to tell you what's going on in the gay news around the world, and also what's going on in the theater scene here in Chicago. Still some great shows to see in the month of July if you can get out to a theater, because we've had such gorgeous weather of late. It's been really, really lovely. So go support your theater groups as well during that time. And I'll be back with Deb Pierce.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. In Chicago, community uproar over violent crime in the gayborhood of Boys Town resulted in nearly 800 people attending a CAPS meeting July 6th in a school auditorium. The CAPS meeting, which is held regularly, was widely attended due to a string of recent violent attacks that have increasingly concerned residents who say that the neighborhood is unsafe, with some people saying that, mostly minority youths from other parts of the city, have played a role in the spike in crime. The debate became so heated that it often turned into a screaming match across the aisles.
The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco ordered a halt to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, citing the Obama administration's criticism of laws that discriminate based on sexual orientation. Last November, the federal appeals court allowed the government to continue enforcing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. However, the court has lifted the stay, saying the circumstances and balance of hardships have changed.
The Justice and Education Departments reached a settlement agreement with the Tehachapi Unified School District in Tehachapi, California, to resolve an investigation into the harassment of a middle school student because he did not conform with gender stereotypes. In September 2010, Jacobson Middle School student Seth Walsh committed suicide at the age of 13. The next month, the Department of Education received a complaint alleging that Walsh had been severely harassed. The district has agreed to revise its policies and regulations related to sexual and gender-based harassment, and to retain a consultant.
The American Medical Association has adopted a new policy in support of same-sex marriage. The AMA said that excluding same-sex couples from marriage recognition is discriminatory. It also supports relationship recognition as a means of addressing health disparities that gay and lesbian couples and their families face.
The New York State Supreme Court's Appellate Division ruled that the New York Human Rights Law protects public school students against discrimination and harassment. In so ruling, the court decided in favor of Amelia Kearney and her daughter, awarding $50,000 to Kearney and $200,000 to her daughter.
Longtime Democratic Party activist and LGBT rights advocate Jean Harris has died at the age of 66. Harris was chief of staff to San Francisco supervisor Harry Britt, who succeeded gay icon Harvey Milk after his assassination in 1978, and became the founding director of Basic Rights Oregon, the state's largest gay rights organization, in 1996.
In South Carolina, domestic violence prosecutor Nicole Howland received a 2-day suspension after allegedly dropping a case because it involved lesbians. When the plaintiff in the case refused to drop charges, she reported that she felt she could not find 6 jurors to hear the case due to her alternative lifestyle. The Sheriff's Department reported that Howland violated department policy, which requires that employees should always be civil and courteous when dealing with the public.
In Michigan, approximately 40 supporters of an LGBT rights ordinance rallied on the steps of City Hall in Holland. Last month, the city council voted down the ordinance 5-4.
In Texas, John Buse, one of 10 men convicted in the 1991 hate crime killing of a gay man, Paul Broussard, has been granted parole. The Woodlands 10, a group of teens, beat, kicked, and knifed Broussard. Buse was sentenced to 45 years in prison and was the last of the killers still serving time. Broussard's mother flew to Houston recently to ask the parole board to keep Buse in jail.
The California Assembly has passed a bill that requires the contributions of LGBT people to be a part of public school curricula. The bill, called the Fair, Accurate, Inclusive, and Respectful Education Act, passed the Assembly 49-25. It passed the state Senate in April and now heads to Governor Jerry Brown's desk.
In Kentucky, city officials in Hazard have refused to change policy after a public employee kicked out a couple with developmental disabilities from a publicly funded swimming pool because the couple was gay. After the situation received media attention, the city began to institute reforms to prevent a similar situation in the future.
Data from the Census Bureau and the Centers for Disease Control's National Vital Statistics System show that 5 of the 10 states, plus the District of Columbia, with the lowest divorce rates are also jurisdictions that currently perform or recognize same-sex marriages. There seem to be several factors responsible for the result, including marriage age and education.
At the University of South Florida, the harassment of a transgender student has led to new housing options. Students completing housing applications can state if they're male, female, or transitioning. Those who select transitioning, a classification that will not be shared without permission, will have the option to live alone, live with a friend, or be assigned a random roommate. Next spring, the school will introduce a program that provides gender-neutral dorms, although intimate pairings will be discouraged.
President Barack Obama named Brenda S. Sue Fulton, an Army veteran who campaigned to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the Board of Visitors of the U.S. Military Academy. Fulton is the first openly gay person on the board that advises the president on West Point. Fulton, age 52, is the executive director and co-founder of Knights Out, an organization of LGBT West Point graduates and allies. She graduated from the academy in 1980, the first class to include women.
Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy has signed a measure that makes the state the 15th to protect transgender individuals from discrimination. The legislation, effective October 1st, will protect transgender people regarding employment, housing, public accommodations, credit, and all other laws under the jurisdiction of the state's Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities.
In Virginia, Jeffrey Trammell became the first openly gay rector of the College of William & Mary. Trammell, who owns a communications and public affairs consulting firm, has served on many boards, including the Human Rights Campaign and the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum.
In world news, in Canada, Ontario's government will assure that support groups for LGBT students are available in all schools in the Canadian province starting this fall. Provincial Parliament member Glenn Murray, who is openly gay, called the move a huge step forward.
A draft of Nepal's constitution would implement rights for LGBT individuals. Extended once last year, the constitution's deadline was put off by 3 months more this past May, as legislators disagree on the broader questions of government structure, not the LGBT content.
Croatian Football Federation President Vlatko Markovic has lost his appeal against being fined $14,500 for making anti-gay remarks. The Union of European Football Associations says its appeal body ruled that Markovic made an inappropriate statement to the press and dismissed his challenge against the punishment.
In Peru, Lima Mayor Susana Velarón participated in the capital city's small gay pride parade. The homosexual movement of Lima is the oldest gay organization in Latin America. A few hundred people gathered for its 10th annual parade.
And in entertainment news, Beyoncé has confirmed that she will star in Clint Eastwood's remake of A Star Is Born. Janet Gaynor, Judy Garland, and Barbara Streisand have all played Vicki Lester, the singer's character in the movie, and Destiny's Child may be reuniting. Execs at Columbia are strategizing to reunite the trio in anticipation of Beyoncé's latest CD, 4, turning out to be a dud. Destiny's Child may start recording together as early as October.
Glee co-stars Heather Morris, Brittany, and Naya Rivera, Santana, surprised a Dublin, Ireland audience on the Glee tour by kissing on stage. And Darren Criss, Blaine, surprised on-screen Chris Colfer, Kurt, with a kiss as well. It was the final show of the successful tour.
An opera penned by Billy Elliot scribe Lee Hall will now be performed in Britain after Hall removed the word queer. Hall agreed to change the word to gay in the opera Beached after a primary school removed 300 children from the show. The new lyrics are, "Of course I'm gay, that's why I went away. So if you infer that I prefer a lad to a lass and him working class, I'd have to concur."
A letter sent by the world-famous Joffrey Ballet Company to its dancers states that the performers will be locked out and the first part of the company's season has been canceled because their union has failed to agree on a new contract. The company has scheduled performances in August at the Blossom Festival in Cleveland and the Chicago Dance Festival. Its regular subscription series begins October 12th with performances of Don Quixote.
Mariah Carey could be a mentor in the new Fox show, The X Factor. The X Factor, the U.S. version of the Simon Cowell successful British show, premieres September 21st. Cowell will appear on the show, along with judges Nicole Scherzinger, L.A. Reid, and Paula Abdul.
Robert Murdoch's media conglomerate is closing down the 168-year-old News of the World, Britain's biggest Sunday tabloid. The publication is currently involved in an intensifying scandal over alleged phone hacking of celebrities, families of terror victims, and a murdered girl.
One Life to Live and All My Children will soon end their television runs, but will continue online. ABC has sold the licensing rights of the shows to online company Prospect Park, who will produce the two shows online, as well as other internet-enabled television series. All My Children will air its final episode on September 23rd, with One Life to Live finishing in January.
Tyne Daly stars as the late diva Maria Callas in Masterclass, which is reviving on Broadway through August 21st. The production won the 1996 Tony Award as Best Play. Zoe Caldwell, Dixie Carter, Patti LuPone, and Faye Dunaway are among others who have played the role.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 11th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Say it loud and proud, I'm with the homosexuals. About Face Theater presents the hottest gay show of the summer, The Homosexuals by Philip Dawkins, playing now through July 24th at the Victory Gardens Theater. Garnering critical praise, 3 stars from the Tribune, and audience laughs, this hilarious and heartwarming play is for anyone who's ever fallen in love with a friend. Get your tickets now for The Homosexuals at aboutfacetheater.com.
Looking for comedy, fashion, and catfights? Well, the Real Housewives have nothing on the ladies of Circle Theater's production of the witty 1930s comedy, The Women, playing now through August 14th. For more information or to order tickets to The Women, go to circle-theater.org. Sharpen your claws, these ladies don't play fair. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller, post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
It wasn't long ago I walked into your life. It wasn't too much longer before I was writing songs about you. We met one night at a show I should have turned down. I don't know why, but I felt that I should try and turn your mood around. Heaven knows why I was drawn to you that night. You were feeling me out, but there was something when I looked into your eyes. You said that night was the saddest you would remember. And all I know is that I felt you before I saw you standing there. Well, baby, it must be magic paving these streets. And it must be heaven shining down around me. I look at you and think back to how we came.
So, Deb, besides Happy Pride, I know that you have some big news that you want to share with the Queercast family of listeners.
I would really like to do that, and you know one piece of it, but I'm going to surprise you with two more surprises right now.
Okay.
Okay, first things first, I'm getting married on August the 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, there's a reason for it, Amy Matheny.
Yeah? It's not just love and only love?
No, there's a little more than that. I'm pregnant.
She's pregnant.
And I only found out yesterday, Amy, we're having a little boy.
You're having a little boy?
Yes, we're having a little boy.
Oh, my gosh. 1, 2, and 3 all lining up. Deb Pierce, everyone. Deb Pierce getting married legally, full-on gay marriage in Canada. Yep. And having a little baby boy. And now I knew you were pregnant, and I've been keeping that secret for a really long time. I've done quite well.
I appreciate that.
My lips are like my chastity belt, like shackled. So and let that easy one pass, Deb. Just let it pass. But so when are you due? First of all, when are you due? When is your pregnancy?
Well, initially, I was due December 1st, then November 28th. As of yesterday, the baby is 19 and a half weeks, 14 centimeters, and my new due date is November 26th.
November 26th, the time to be thankful around the Thanksgiving for us.
Good.
Yeah, that's our, I think November 26th is 2 days after our Thanksgiving. So that'll be a wonderful holiday to celebrate. So now that that's the big news, let's go back because, have you, cause I remember when you told me you were trying to have a baby.
Yep.
And then you told me in secret, not on the air. And then you told me that you were pregnant and you said, isn't it weird when butches have babies? But has it always been something that you wanted was to have a kid?
Yes. You know what, Amy? I always knew that I'd be a parent. I wasn't sure that I would birth a child myself.
Yep.
But I always knew that the world, I feel like, would be a better place if I was able to parent a child in it. I just felt like it would complete my already really amazing existence. And for some strange reason, 6 years ago, I met an amazing woman who totally settled me down for being an absolute whore.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. She's always wanted to be a parent. And, you know, last year around March, I had the disappointing news that two very good friends of mine passed. My dad was diagnosed with a terrible, heinous illness, and Leanne and I, my fiancé, my fiancé, we just said, you know what, we need to celebrate life right now, and we looked into donor information, and we started inseminating last May.
Wow. And how long did it take you?
It took me, my conception date is March the 7th. We missed a few months because I was traveling a lot with Bump for a logo. So we must have inseminated 7 times. Speaking of, I'm not being rushed to the ambulance, but one is passing me right now.
Oh, that's okay. We can barely hear it. So now, did you consider knowing the sperm donor, not knowing the sperm donor? What was that conversation for you?
Well, there is a lot more money in buying sperm, if you will, certainly using in vitro and all that stuff. So there's a lot more money. We wanted to sort of spend our money, the child, not getting the child. So we went a little bit of a different route, but still inseminating, and it worked really well for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you think that, like, you know, did you think that you would get married or once you got pregnant, or how did the engagement happen?
Well,
or did that seem important to you, bringing a kid into the world, to be married?
Well, those are really good questions, Amy. For me, my partner has no legal rights to my birth child unless we get married. So in my mother's words, you're not going to have a bastard child, are you? You've got to get married.
Yes.
So we knew that we'd be together forever. Amy, I grew up, I'm 42, I grew up, the word marriage wasn't even in my vocabulary. I just didn't think it would ever be a possibility. And then being the person that I was, I never thought that I'd ever settle down with one person. So marriage didn't seem like it was on my radar until this happened, and it absolutely feels like the right thing to do. We want our son's name on the birth certificate, and she's going to be the other parent. We could literally do that here.
Right.
And we're going to hyphenate his last name, so we're both you know, carrying on some family name stuff. And it did seem like the right thing to do and a good example for our child.
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's a really wonderful, you know, way to just bring this whole family decision together, you know, and also just as we were discussing earlier, logistically to protect so many of the rights that, you know, you wouldn't have if you weren't. I mean, Canada has common law, but does it not extend to gay couples?
It would be common law. I'm not sure about, heaven forbid anything happened to me in the delivery room. I don't know what that looks like for her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a little paranoid to call the government and ask questions because I feel like they're going to put some sort of microchip in my brain.
Yeah.
So I think I've watched too many X-Files, but nevertheless.
Yeah, but Scully was hot, so what could you do?
Oh, my God, so hot, so hot. You yeah. and the gingers.
Me
so,
and the gingers, that's true.
You know, you
never the
kids.
Marianne's, always the gingers.
That's right. Well, it seems like the right thing to do, and we literally found out we were having a boy yesterday and went down to City Hall, and for $140, we bought a marriage license,
uh-huh.
which will become a marriage certificate after we're married on August 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay, so August the 6th, what do you envision
yep.
that's happening soon? You know, a gay man yep. would be freaking out if they were getting married in 5-6 weeks. What kind of wedding are you having? What are you doing? Are we all invited to fly to Canada? What's going on?
Yes. Your invitation's in the mail, Amy Matheny.
Woo!
And it's going to be an afternoon rehearsal. Then we're taking 16 friends and family out for dinner. We're all returning back to our house where we hide inside and get into something much less comfortable. And have a 7 p.m. ceremony outside. We've got about 100 people coming. Chairs, tables, tents. We've got a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville station.
I love it.
It's going to be so much fun. We've got a lesbian band playing. And,
of course you do.
To be honest, Leanne doesn't know it, but I'm going to have a song ready for her to sing, to try to without bawling, but to sing to her with the band.
Yeah. I think you should do that. I think we should each sing a song to Leanne with the band. That's what I think. I think you get, you know, that's the wedding gift. It's the songs that keep on giving. And after the Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville station, those songs will be quite a gift that we'll keep on giving, I'm sure.
There's going to be a lot of cameras. My camera crew's coming to actually film it just in case I ever want to put it on any of the shows that I'm on.
So. Yeah, you should. Of course you should.
Well, I'm like Madonna. Nothing is worth doing unless it's filmed.
Yes, exactly. I think that Warren Beatty actually quoted her on that in Truth or Dare.
That's exactly the reference I'm making.
I know. You and I are the same person, so I understand the reference. So,
you can't sing to Leanne because she's going to be so smitten with you.
No,
she already
no,
has
no.
a very healthy crush.
Oh, no, no, no. Stop.
Sing
stop,
badly,
stop, stop. No, now tell me, what are you wearing? I mean, this is always the tux, the dress. Is one wearing a dress, one wearing a tux? Are you both barefoot in the grass and, you know, in linen? What's going on? Cause you're already pregnant. So you might as well be barefoot and pregnant, I think.
That's true. And that would be more comfortable. And my feet are more swollen than Barney Rubble. I swear to God right now. We have both decided the theme colors for the party are, silver and a deep pink sort of fuchsia. So that's the theme we're running throughout the yard. But our suits, we are going, she's literally crossed the border into the States today, because you guys have better clothes. And we're both wearing ivory white suits.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
She's wearing pink Chuck Taylors.
She is?
Yes.
You gotta love that girl.
Am I gonna find some silver shoes? So we're just gonna do the whole running theme with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about, because, you know, it's not something we discuss a ton here, but how are you, we don't get to discuss a lot of people having children and yet so many of us are these days, you know, adopting children, having children through surrogacy or having children, in lesbian couples. So, how are you feeling and how has this whole process of having a first child been for you?
Well, when I got over the initial, oh my God, I'm supposed to put that in my body,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to psychologically not receive it. Do you know what I'm saying? As gross as that conversation is. So I made that process as comfortable as I could for myself, and wasn't sober for every single one of them. I'll tell you that right now.
Yep.
But the first 3 months were hell. I had morning, noon, and night sickness.
Oh, and, no.
Yep. But I didn't complain because we tried so long. How dare I complain? People don't even get pregnant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then into the fourth month, I was okay. Now I have frighteningly swollen feet, actually. I went to the doctor because there's a number of different things that can happen with feet swelling. And I've just been prescribed the worst thing to give to a vein dyke. I have to wear, and I won't wear them in public, but I have to wear those ugly, tight medical stockings.
Yep.
Have you seen those?
I think so. They're like tube socks, though, right?
Yeah, they're like for 85-year-old people.
I know, but
like,
you should put some little fun appliques on them and just, you know, suck it up.
Like, I'm going to bedazzle them.
I'm serious. Like, you know, make them look really rad.
Okay, maybe that'll help. Other than that, you know what? I've gained a buttload of weight. You will not recognize me.
Yeah.
And I am feeling amazing. My hair is thicker. My skin's better. I haven't had a trace of a sneeze or a cold. I've never felt healthier, and now I'm starting to feel the baby move. Leanne felt the baby move for the first time the other night, so it becomes very real then.
Yep.
And
yep.
I just think the whole thing, I was talking to my mom this morning, and the whole thing is just like really, if you really take a moment to think about it, it's pretty friggin' amazing.
Yeah.
Really. Like, it's mind-boggling what I'm doing here. I just... It just feels amazing. I did miss Pride this year as far as being debaucherous, because I normally am not a big drinker, but I'm not sober over Pride. So that was weird because I didn't drink and I sat down a lot as opposed to dancing often topless and being drunk over Pride. So you start to make healthier choices for yourself as a role model because you wonder, what would my child think of that?
Yes, I think so. Or other people just watching drunk, butch, lesbian, pregnant, topless. I mean, it's really, I mean, some people would have to go to therapy over that who didn't even know you.
That's correct. That's correct.
So are you picking out names? Do you want suggestions? Like, I like that the kids are all right, had cool names like Razor and stuff like that. Was that his name? Razor?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah, that was his name. We had a really good girl named Dylan. We kind of made that up for a girl. We were really happy with that one.
Yep.
And because since speaking to you last on May 4th, my dad, John Wilson Pierce, passed away, we are going to stick to the same initials and same middle name for our son. And I suppose I can tell you that we're going to name him Jack.
Oh, I love the name Jack. Is he going to be Jack Wilson?
Yeah, Jack Wilson, J.W. Pierce.
Oh, I love that. That's such a strong name.
Yeah, thank you. We, you know, we talked about this. We really, it's a big, I think it's an amazing responsibility to help to raise a strong man. Because let's face it, we don't want to admit it, but it is a man's world still.
Yep.
And I think it's really important to raise a strong, amazing, liberal, politically minded, politically aware male because they can make some great change in the world.
Well, and you know, that's Mitchell Fain's whole, that is a mission of his, you know, that men and that is where the key to changing society actually is. And primarily young straight men is really where the world will change. So,
I thought about him being straight. Damn it. There's a chance, isn't there?
It's a big chance. Big chance. Only 13% of us get to be lucky like you and me.
Oh, all right. I guess I'll love him unconditionally.
Love him unconditionally. Well, we love you unconditionally. I am, I'm so excited about your, upcoming marriage, your upcoming nuptials, and the birth of little Jack. And I am just so thrilled. And If what's getting ready to come up here at the end of the summer, in case people want to head up to Toronto, because you know, guys, it's just a quick little up down flight from Chicago, and if you're listening to us on the East Coast, even easier as well to get to Toronto. So what's going on? What are you looking forward to for the rest of the summer?
Well, it's an amazing jazz fest that happened down in the beach. Caravana, of course, happens in August. It celebrates our people of color communities and the Caribbean specifically. There's just amazing. Speaking of theater, Billy Elliot is getting ridiculous reviews here.
Oh, have you seen it? You need to see that, Deb Pierce, if you've not seen that.
We did see it on close to opening night. It was amazing. It was amazing. And Hugh Jackman's here for part of the summer. He's here right now with his son playing a didgeridoo on stage. I guess he's just phenomenal. So our theater scene is absolutely booming.
Wait. Back up. He's playing a didgeridoo? Like, what the heck is he doing? He's in a play?
Hugh Jackman's son gets on stage and plays the didgeridoo.
Oh, his son does, not Hugh Jackman.
I don't know if he can or not. I haven't seen the production.
But it's a play that his son is in where he plays the didgeridoo.
It's just so, I think it's a night with, so to speak, a night with Hugh Jackman. I think he tells anecdotal stories, and he's quite endearing.
That is so funny.
I know.
I don't even understand that, but that's funny.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't know what kind of bravado you have to be like, no, it's just me. I got this. I'll regale the audience for 2 hours about me. But
hey.
Apparently, he does it, and he, you know, you saw him host the Oscars.
Anybody can do that, it's Hugh Jackman. I mean, he is so charming. He could read the phone book. And he's like, I'm saying, that's what's so funny is like, he's the only person I could think of that you could say he's going to play the didgeridoo and that's what he's going to do and entertain you. And he would.
Yeah. He's that guy. And he's a bit of a dark horse though, isn't he? I mean, we all talk about how great he is, but he's not, I think it's because he's not controversial. He's a loving family man. He's a good husband. He doesn't do anything, you know, untoward. So people don't want to idolize him as much as we should, because there is no affairs, there are no hidden children coming out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? Why don't we do that to the people who just,
well, because he is supposed to be just the nicest guy. You know,
well,
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody who has an opportunity to work with him. I mean, the buzz around Saturday Night Live and why they ask him to, you know, love to have him host and do things. And when he hosts these award shows, I mean, he's just the nicest guy and people just like him. Sometimes it's crazy to say, oh, just being nice gets you a long way. But it goes to show you how many people are not nice and considerate. And, you know, and that does go a far, far way. And I think he genuinely is a good guy.
Yeah, he hasn't fit into that bullshit stardom that these idiots feed into with the, I only want, you know, whatever, I don't want red-colored smarties. My friend, I won't tell too many stories out of school, but a friend of mine is a chef, and she works behind the scenes with Metallica and U2 and the Rolling Stones, and recently she was cooking for Rihanna, and if I got into the details of what a diva she was behind the scenes, it would make your head spin,
yeah.
And you'd never want to hear a song again, because you get treated a certain way for a certain amount of time, and there's this expectation around the way you're supposed to be treated, and it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
And unfortunate.
Yeah. No, that is not a new, that doesn't surprise me.
No,
I mean,
no.
You know, doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Well, you and I are nice people. You're a nice person.
We are, and we're kind of big deal.
And you're going to raise a really nice son is what you're going to do.
You
gay
know,
or straight. We will love him no matter if he's straight. We will love him.
We will love him. I don't care what he, I don't care about anything. I'm so ecstatic to be here in this place, 5 months pregnant and about to, have the greatest day of my life coming up to be followed by the birth of my child. It's just, it's a crazy, since I started doing the podcast.
Yep.
I have transitioned completely, like not transitioned, obviously, but I have gone through so many transitions and, life is is amazing. And I hope your listeners, I hope you guys all out there are living life to the fullest, because it's never too late, and it's never too, you know, never know the wrong time to do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, you are leading by example, my lady. You're living the big life, and it's really exciting, and we're just so honored to have you a part of the QueerCast, and happy to reconnect with you after so long. I knew you had this news, but we kind of held off having you on when you could really talk about it. So I'm so thrilled that the cat's out of the bag, or the baby's out of the bag, and
and
we get the added little bonus of I get to be surprised that you are getting married as well. So, wow, yeah. What a great show to send us out into our week. And I hope all of you are really enjoying the middle of the summer, wherever you are listening from. There's still a whole lot of summer left to come. And we know you'll be enjoying it. And we hope that you'll continue to download and listen to us throughout the rest of all of it. Deb Pierce, I'm sending you lots of love from the States.
I'm taking your love, and happy Pride season to everybody listening.
Happy Pride season to you, Canada, and Deb Pierce. And love to your fiancé. I hope to see you both soon. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.